We greet you in the ever precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. We welcome you to the concluding message in chapter 4 of the book of Exodus in relation to the three great signs discovering that were given to Moses to prove that God had commissioned and authorized him to be the deliverer of his people long ago out of Egypt. We would like to go down the chapter after studying the signs in the first 9 verses to get the conclusion of what happened when they were given to the people of Israel. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. We would like to read verse 29 to the end of the chapter through verse 31. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. May God bless the reading of this portion. What a fitting end to the chapter that has revealed God's method of deliverance on the behalf of Israel long ago. Now let us repeat very carefully and thoroughly, though briefly, these three great signs. We have noted the first sign was the sign of the rod. When cast to the ground, it became a serpent. At the command of God, Moses took it by the tail, and it was restored again as a rod in his own hand. This was the rod of dominion, a rod that was the symbol of divine authority. We made mention of the fact that it symbolizes this truth, that when God made man in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, he said, let us make man and let them have dominion over the earth. And every living thing, whether the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field, or even the fish of the sea, were placed under the dominion of Adam. We noted that in the type of Moses, when commanded to cast the rod to the ground, it became a serpent. We were reminded that it was a most unfortunate fact that Satan took away the rod of dominion from Adam, and the dominion and the authority of the world was translated into the power of Satan. We have no hesitancy in believing, not alone from observation, but even from the word of divine revelation. Satan is the god of this age. Satan, in the word of God, is called the prince of this world. But it was only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took upon him our humanity and was made in the likeness of men, who could by so doing take the devil by the tail, pay the consequences of our sins. And may I remind you what Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And my beloved, you and I deserve those wages. Death that is not only physical, death that is not only spiritual, but a death that can be eternal in its separation forever from God in an eternal hell. All the consequences of your sins and mine, on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus paid them, as we have sung so many times, in the blessed old hymn, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, sin had left a crimson stain, he washed in white as snow. My beloved radio friend, we raise the question. Our Old Testament story is a type that Christ is the mighty conqueror who has overcome the power of sin and Satan, has gone into the realm of death. He's come out a victor. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. The rod of dominion. 'Tis not yet seen publicly, but the rod of dominion will be publicly manifested in the hands of man again, but the man Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory. And Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth its successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. My friend, has he saved you? For he came to deliver you out of the power of Satan, and to deliver you out of this evil world, according to the will of God our Father. We saw the sign of the hand in the bosom, typifying the work of the Holy Spirit, to reveal to you and to me the sinfulness of our human heart, to reveal the need of moral and spiritual cleansing, and to make real and apply to our souls, when by faith we trust the Savior, to apply that precious blood of Christ in its efficacy to cleanse us in the sight of a holy God from the guilt and the stain of sin. My beloved, precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners. Every one of us can say, shed for me. My friend, will you not trust the precious blood of Jesus? The Spirit seeks to bring you to do that. But the inevitable consequence if you never do, we found typified in the third miracle, water being turned into blood, taken from the river Nile, poured upon the dry land. As the water would reach the dry earth, immediately it would turn to blood. Now this was not the symbol of redemption. This was the symbol of divine judgment and displeasure. That they would, if they did, they would have rejected God's intervention. I say to every listener, beware what you do with Christ. Beware what you do with the message we bring to you on this program, that Christ is the only Savior. Beware what you do with Him. Beware what you do with the Spirit of God's grace and convicting power. Come to Christ. Don't go into eternity lost, for there's nothing left but inevitable judgment. But it's so precious to look in the story of this chapter going down to the end for brevity's sake, and overlooking the portion between verse 9 to the end, at least for a time, to see the reaction in the case of Israel. And best of all, the submission of Israel. Note the words. Verse 29 says, Moses and Aaron went. They gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Then they spoke to them first the words which the Lord had given to Moses. But they not only spoke the words that God gave, they knew they had to do the sign. Moses was right. The people would require a sign. And that those signs were the indication of divine authority to prove to the elders of Israel God had heard their cries and groans and had sent deliverance. And they spoke the words. They did the signs. Now here's the precious truth. The last verse in the chapter, oh how precious. The people believed. What a lovely expression. What a blessed result. The people believed. Oh my sinner friend, cannot you believe? Have you never read the Gospel of John through? Perhaps many of you have. Have you never noticed that nearly 100 times you've got the word believe or believing or believer in some form of the verb or faith? Believe, 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 believe. Well, did Paul say to the Philippian jailer when he asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And together Paul and Silas replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. My beloved, what a wonderful result here. The people believed. Our God has heard our groans. Our God has heard our cries. Our God has come to visit His children. He's looked upon our affliction. My beloved, may I say, if you are anxious to get rid of the burden of your sin, to have your guilt and burden and stain removed, God's heard the groans. God knows your need. He's provided for it. You don't have to look any further. 1900 and more years ago on Calvary, God provided redemption for your soul. God's Son shed His precious blood. The Holy Spirit was afterward given. He came at Pentecost. He's been in the world and He's in the world today to make real to those who will believe the power of Jesus to save and to wash away the stain of sin. But you must believe. You must believe. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. My beloved, I wish you would do what these Israelites did long ago. The people believe when they heard. When they heard. Now, I want to tell you frankly, you've been hearing. And you've been hearing God can save you through Christ, the beloved Son of God who died to save you from your sins, their penalty and their judgment. Why don't you believe it? And they heard the Lord had visited the children of Israel. He looked upon their affliction. And what could they do but the best and the greatest thing? They bowed their heads and worshiped. My beloved, I wish I could find some sinner friend today believing, bowing his or her head this moment in worship and thanksgiving before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, led by the Spirit to say, Lord, I believe. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And what a joy. For even today, it is faith that will bring the soul into the assurance of salvation and give it the possession of a sure and certain hope for ultimate deliverance and glory in that endless place of eternal blessing and delight to be with God in the glory of a new and an everlasting creation to come. And you get it by faith. Only believe. Shall we pray? Blessed Father, we thank Thee our Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us out of this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. May He do it for some soul right now. In His name and for His glory. Amen.